We've been going through 3 John for the last couple weeks, and we will finish up 3 John today, our final sermon in the book of 3 John. And so I'm going to look at this morning. First off, we looked at this man Gaius. John writes to Gaius. He writes about Gaius. This morning, we're going to look at the 2 other men who John writes about in the book of 3 John. Let's just read the whole book. It's a short book. It's only 14 verses. Let's just read the whole thing, and then we'll get right into the sermon. The Apostle John, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes and says this: "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." And then this will be our text today. "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." Let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless the preaching of his word this morning. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, it is good to be in your house today, Lord. After a busy week, after a week full of just running to and fro and caring for the things of this world, it's good to come into your house, Lord, and to sing your praises and to be encouraged in song, Lord. But it's even better to look into the truth of your word and be nourished by that. I pray this morning, Father, that as we open your word, that we will find nourishment, Lord, today that will see us through the week ahead. We'll find nourishment for our souls, Lord. In a world that has no hope, I pray, Father, that we would find hope in your word today. I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts this morning. I pray, Father, that we would open our minds to receive. We'd open our ears to hear, Lord. That we'd open our hearts to receive as well. Lord, and we would examine not only your word, but we would examine ourselves. And we would, Lord, look to see if we are living up to what you demand of us from your word. And I pray, Father in heaven, Lord, that you would work in the hearts and lives of your people today. I pray, Father, that you would be with me as I preach this morning, that you would empower me through your Holy Spirit to preach in a way that would bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about this morning a tale of two leaders. A tale of two leaders. Now, the book of 3 John is a book of contrasts. In verses 1 through 8, which we read, we see that the Apostle John commends this man Gaius for his dedication to the truth and his hospitality to traveling preachers. And so the first part of the book is John commending this man Gaius. But starting in verse 9, the Apostle John begins to discuss another man in the church, a man by the name of Diotrephes. And Diotrephes is a complete contrast to Gaius. And then finally, John finishes the letter by speaking of a third man named Demetrius. Okay, and so there's three people overall that he speaks to. We've already, the last couple weeks, talked about Gaius. Today we're going to focus on Demetrius and Diotrephes. Now, when I thought of these two men, Demetrius and Diotrephes, I thought about photography. And you say, well, that's kind of weird. That's kind of strange. But I thought about photography before the digital camera. Now, it's hard to believe that some of us may not really remember too much about photography before the digital camera, but most of us do. Now, if you remember, before you could take a picture on your phone, you used to have a camera, and you used to have to put film inside of that camera. And when you would focus the camera, and when you would click the shutter, an image would be imprinted upon this piece of film in the camera. And that image we call a negative. A negative. Now, to produce a photograph, you would shine the light through the negative onto a piece of paper. And then you would have to develop that paper, and you would have a copy of whatever image you took a photograph of. Now, the film upon which you imprinted the light that you would later make the picture from, that film is called the negative. The picture that you developed on the paper is technically called the positive. And so you have the positive and you have the negative. On the one hand, you have this beautiful picture. You have this recreation of this beautiful scene that you took, whether it be your family, whether it's a landscape, whatever it is. You have this beautiful recreation of whatever scene you were trying to capture. On the other hand, you have this piece of cellophane film that we call a negative. And it is the exact opposite of the real picture. It's the exact opposite. In the picture, the places in the picture that are light colored, on the negative, they're dark. If it's something that's white on the film, on the picture, it's black on the negative. On the negative, the areas that are light colored show up dark on the picture, on the photograph, whenever you develop the film. And so the negative is the complete opposite of what it is that you're wanting to recreate. The negative is the complete opposite of what you're wanting to recreate. The areas that are supposed to be light on the photograph are dark on the negative, and vice versa. Now, this is the example that John gives us. Diotrephes is the complete opposite of everything a pastor should be. Just like the negative, when you develop the picture, is the complete opposite of what you're trying to get, Diotrephes is the complete opposite of everything a pastor should be. The Bible tells us, John writes and tells us, that Diotrephes only walked to please himself. That's all Diotrephes cared about, was pleasing himself. He is the exact opposite. He is the negative of what a pastor should be. Everything that a pastor should have, Diotrephes is deficient in that area. John then briefly contrasts him with this man Demetrius, who is the true picture of a godly leader. And so we have the positive and the negative. We have the photograph, and we have the negative film. Diotrephes is the negative film, and Demetrius is the photograph. As Christians, we should always follow Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? The person you should be following in your life, in my life, is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's who we should be following after. But on a worldly level, we often have human role models that we look up to. We often have human role models that we look up to. In this passage, John makes clear the importance of choosing the correct role model. John makes it very clear the importance of choosing the correct role model. He says this, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but follow that which is good. John says, be careful who you follow here. Follow the correct role model. This morning, let's look at these two men that John describes, Diotrephes and Demetrius. First of all, we see this. John starts off with the negative. John starts off with Diotrephes, the negative, the complete opposite of what a pastor should be. Look back at verses 9 and 10 in 3 John. The Apostle John writes and says this, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Now it appears that Diotrephes, this man Diotrephes, was likely the pastor of the church. From the description of his authority that we see here in verses 9 and 10, he was likely the pastor of the church. It seems that he made the decisions about who the church would accept as far as visiting preachers who were coming through the area. He made the decisions because John said, he won't even receive us. He won't even let us visit the church. He will not receive us, he said. So we see that he made those decisions, and we see that he exercised some authority over the members of the church. In considering John's description of Diotrephes, we see there are two essential character flaws. There's two essential problems with this man, Diotrephes. He has two serious character flaws. Number one, he's given over to pride, and we'll talk about that. He's given over to pride. But number two, he's an abuser of people and an abuser of power. He's an abuser of people and abuser of power. First of all, John says this, Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence. Diotrephes is given over to pride. The first problem with Diotrephes is his pride. John plainly states, he loveth to have the preeminence among them. Now, this word preeminence literally means this, ambitious to have distinction. Ambitious to have distinction. He wants to be important. He wants to be somebody who everybody else looks up to. He wants to be somebody who everybody else goes to for advice, goes to for guidance. And he is ambitious for it. He desires, he craves it. He wants it desperately. He is ambitious for it. He wants to be the most important person in the church. Not only to have everyone's adoration, but to be the final authority in all things. That is what Diotrephes is craving here. He wants to have the preeminence. Now, John tells us here that he wrote a letter to the church. He says, I wrote unto the church in verse number 9. But then he said at the end of verse 9, but Diotrephes receiveth us not. He wrote a letter to the church, but Diotrephes refused to receive them. It seemed that John had written a letter saying, we're going to come and visit the church, Diotrephes. And Diotrephes wrote back and said, no, you're not. You're not welcome here. Don't show up here. Diotrephes refused to receive them. And furthermore, it seems that Diotrephes, not only did he refuse to receive them, but he withheld the letter from the rest of the church. So nobody else knew about it. He would not receive them, and he withheld that information from everyone else. Now, it's important to recognize who John is. John is an apostle. Now, there are people today who call themselves apostles, but I stand on the authority of God's word and tell you they are not apostles. There are strict qualifications for an apostle given in the scriptures. And one of them was this, you have to have seen the risen Lord. If you didn't see Jesus Christ in the flesh with your eyes after the resurrection, you're not qualified to be an apostle. But John was an apostle. And furthermore, John was probably the last living apostle. All the other apostles, the original 12 that followed Jesus, we know Judas died. The rest of the original 11 are all dead by this point. John wrote this letter in about AD 90 to AD 95. John was the last living apostle out of the original 11. And then you have other apostles. You have a lot of, Jesus appeared to over 500 people at one point, and not all of those people were apostles. But John is likely the very last living apostle. And furthermore, as an apostle, not only did John witness Jesus' ministry firsthand as one of the original 12, but as an apostle, he had direct revelation from the Lord. God revealed things directly to John. That's how we got the Gospel of John. That's how we got the book of Revelation. That's how we got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Because as an apostle, God directly revealed things to John. And he wrote them for us as God's word. And so it was a very serious thing for this man, Diotrephes, to refuse to allow him to come to the church. It was a big deal. It was an important thing. for him to say, no, you're not welcome here. Do not show up at this church. It was a big deal. But Diotrephes' insecurity and jealousy over his authority meant that he would not share the pulpit with anyone else. Okay? John says he does not receive us. It's not just John he refused to receive, but all of the visiting preachers that John talked about at the beginning of 3 John, who Gaius was receiving, Diotrephes was refusing all of them. He would not receive any of the visiting preachers who were coming through preaching the truth. He refused to receive them all. And it was because of his jealousy and his insecurity over his authority. He would not receive anyone who he thought might come close to rivaling his leadership and authority. This is what it meant by when he said, Diotrephes loves to have the preeminence. He wants to be the most important. He will not receive anyone else. And he would not accept anyone because he was afraid of the rivalry. Now, there's a problem with this. There is a major problem with Diotrephes and his preeminence. Does anybody know what it is? It's a big problem. Diotrephes wasn't supposed to have the preeminence. If you have your Bibles, go to Colossians chapter 1. Diotrephes wasn't supposed to have the preeminence. The preeminence in the church did not belong to Diotrephes. It was not for him. Colossians 1:18 says this, speaking of Jesus Christ. Go back to verse 15. It says this, talking about Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, by Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Okay, this is about Jesus here. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And then in verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Did the preeminence in the church belong to Diotrephes? No. The preeminence in the church was not for Diotrephes. The preeminence in the church was for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is who is supposed to be the most important person in the church. Look, at Community Baptist Church, Pastor Ryan is not supposed to be the most important person here. You are not supposed to be the most important person here. Who's supposed to be the most important person here? Jesus Christ is supposed to be the most important person here. He is supposed to be given preeminence in the church. Diotrephes was literally stealing something that belonged to Jesus Christ and taking it for himself. You put yourself in a bad position. It's bad enough to steal from one another, but to steal something that belongs to God, you put yourself in a bad spot. And Diotrephes is trying to steal the preeminence that belongs to God and keep it for himself. So we see, first of all, that he has a pride problem. Diotrephes has a pride problem. But not only this, he is an abuser of people and his power. He is an abuser of people. Not only was he prideful, but he was abusive. He abused both his power and he abused God's people. He's exactly the opposite of what a pastor should be. If you named all the qualities of what a pastor should be, and then you made a list of the opposites, that would describe Diotrephes. He was the opposite of what a pastor should be. John tells us that not only did Diotrephes refuse to accept his visit to the church, but he slandered and attacked him. What does he say here? In verse 10, 3 John verse 10, he says this, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth. He says, I'm not going to forget the things Diotrephes is doing. He says, prating against us with malicious words. He was slandering them with his mouth. He was attacking John and these visiting preachers verbally. Prating against us with malicious words, he says. Now, the word prating means this. To babble or to speak nonsense. To berate someone idly. Just to babble, to speak nonsense. Always just to run your mouth. And to berate someone idly like it's no big deal to say bad things about somebody. That's what prating means. Malicious means evil and vicious. That's what the word malicious means. So Diotrephes was going around, running his mouth, making false and empty accusations against John and the other ministers, using evil and vicious speech. That's what he was doing. He was going around and he was making false and empty accusations against godly men. He was making false and empty accusations against them, going around telling everyone about it in a very evil and vicious way. It was not enough, it was not enough that he refused to receive us, but then he must go on and slander us as well and try to destroy us in the eyes of the church. John says, I'm not going to forget this. I'm not going to forget this. Now, the Bible is very clear about this behavior. We won't look them up, but we are repeatedly warned in the scriptures about gossip. Repeatedly, we are warned in the scriptures about gossip. You can look them up later. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18. Proverbs 16, 28. Proverbs 20, 19. That's just three verses. There are literally dozens and dozens more verses that warn against gossip, saying slanderous, unkind things about other people. But not only that, James writes in the book of James about the tongue. And what does James say about the tongue? James says that the tongue is a fire. James says that the tongue is an unruly evil. James says that the tongue is a deadly poison. These are the things that people do with their tongue. Saved people do it. Unsaved people do it. These are the things we do with our tongue. And you know what James says about the tongue? He says it is set on fire of hell. Your tongue, my tongue, if we won't control it, it is set on fire of hell. James doesn't have anything good to say about the tongue. Now, Diotrephes is living proof of this. He is going around slandering people because he's trying to puff himself up in the eyes of people and trying to destroy everyone else. Why? Because he wants to have the preeminence. He is an abuser of people. But not only did he abuse people with his tongue, he abused the power of his position in the church. Look back at verse 10. He says, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. So he will not receive us. And then he slanders us. And then he says this, and not content therewith. He says, as if that wasn't enough, he says this, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. So Diotrephes, not only will he not let these preachers come into the church and share the truth of God's word, but he will not be hospitable to them and allow them into his home and care for them in his home. And not only that, neither will he allow anyone in the church to do the same thing. He will not allow anyone in the church to receive these visiting preachers. And what does he do to them if they do? It says here in verse 10, he casteth them out of the church. Anyone else who would receive one of these traveling preachers, Diotrephes would kick them out of the church. He said, this church is not open to anyone else to preach but me. And if you accept anyone else into your house and you're hospitable to anyone else, I'm kicking you out of the church. So, Christian and Catherine, if you have anybody in your house, I'm kicking you out. That was Diotrephes' attitude. He was going to kick them out of the church. Now, not only did he abuse people, but he abused his power. This is a clear abuse of power in the church. There are reasons to kick people out of the church. In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote to the book of the church at Corinth and said, kick this man out of the church. Why? Because Paul was mad at him and they were having a disagreement? No. Because the man had unconfessed and open sin in his life and he was bringing shame upon the church. There are reasons to kick people out of the church sometimes. Such reasons would include severe backsliding in the life of a believer and a refusal to get things right. Openly and flagrantly displaying their sin, refusing to get it right. It could also include preaching a false gospel. But a disagreement with a pastor like this is not a good reason to kick someone out of the church. There are reasons, but this is not a good reason. Just because you don't do exactly what I tell you to do doesn't mean you get kicked out of the church. If it was like that, guess what? I would be the only person here. Because you're not going to do everything I tell you to do. There are people that come to our church and they come to me for advice and I say, do this, don't do that. You've asked my advice. I'm telling you, this is the thing you should do. And you know what they go do? They go and do the exact opposite. And do we kick them out of the church? No. Because that's not a good reason to kick someone out of the church. But not only was he kicking them out for a bad reason, but he was kicking them out solely based on his authority. There is a method and a way to do this. Matthew chapter 18 describes it. But Diotrephes was just doing it on his own. Hey, I'm in charge here. I'm the boss here. And I say you're not to come back. He was an abuser of his power. He was an abuser of his people. Now, John has a plan for dealing with Diotrephes. What does he say? He says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth. John says, when I show up, I'm going to deal with this problem. When I show up, I'm going to deal with this problem. We don't have time there, but in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to the church of Corinth and he says, look, there are some problems in the church. And I'm thankful that some of the people of the church at Corinth have gotten things straightened out. But there are some people in the church at Corinth who refuse to get things straightened out. And if I come there, I'm going to straighten you out. That's what Paul tells them. And that's the same threat that John is making here. He says, when I come, I'm going to fix Diotrephes. I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle, and I have direct power from the Lord. And this man is abusing God's people, and we're going to fix it. That's what Paul's saying here. When I come, I'm not going to forget this. Now, we often think, when I think about John, especially at this time, we're in AD 90 to 95 here. John is probably at least in his 80s, maybe even into his 90s. John is not a young man at this point. And not only that, you think about John, you think about the Bible talks about in the Gospel of John, how at the Last Supper, John reclined on the Lord's chest. You think that John is a very gentle and kind guy a lot of times. And so it's hard for me to imagine him saying, when I come to this church, Diotrephes is going to get straightened out. But you have to remember too, what did Jesus say about John? Jesus called John a son of thunder. John had a temper. John had a temper. And if things didn't go the way they were supposed to go, John could get upset. John had a temper. He was a son of thunder. And he said, Diotrephes, when I come to this church, I'm going to straighten this thing out. We're not going to be having this in the church. And so we see this man, Diotrephes. He is the negative. Because of his pride and his abuse of power, he was the exact opposite of everything a pastor should be. He was the exact opposite. He was not behaving as a pastor should. He was deficient in this area. And so we see that John talks about this man, Diotrephes. And then he talks about this man, Demetrius. Look at verse 12, or look at verse 11 and 12. It says this, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but follow that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and we know that our record is true. Finally, John contrasts Diotrephes with this third man, Demetrius. And honestly, we don't know a lot about Demetrius. Diotrephes was a very rare name. Diotrephes was a name that was only used by the noble classes of the day. But Demetrius was a very common name. And there are at least a couple people in the New Testament who share this name. But it's not clear that they're necessarily the same person. Some scholars believe that Demetrius was a member of the church. And that John was saying to Gaius, he was saying, don't follow Diotrephes, follow Demetrius. Some people believe he was already a member of the church. Other scholars believe that Demetrius was the messenger who brought this letter to Gaius. And that he was going to stay there with Gaius and encourage him through this difficult time with Diotrephes and try to help straighten the church out. And so some people believe that Demetrius was already there. Some people believe he was sent there to try to encourage Gaius and straighten things out. But he introduces Demetrius. He introduces Demetrius with a word of warning. He specifically tells Gaius, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good." The insinuation here is this: do not follow Diotrephes. He is evil. That's what John is kind of insinuating here. Do not follow Diotrephes. He is evil. Okay? Do not follow that which is evil. But then he goes on to make an even bolder statement. He said, "He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." He's saying not only is Diotrephes evil, but Diotrephes doesn't even know God. He's the pastor of the church, but he's not even saved. He's the pastor of the church, but he doesn't even know God. He said, "Do not follow evil. If someone is evil, they have not seen God." They don't know the Lord. And so John is making a very bold statement. Look, not only is Diotrephes wrong, but Diotrephes is not even saved. He's evil. Instead, follow this man that I'm sending, Demetrius. Follow Demetrius. And then what does he say about Demetrius? In verse 12, "Demetrius hath good report of all men." Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. "Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true." He says Demetrius is well regarded by everyone. He's well regarded by everyone. There's not a person who's ever met Demetrius who can say something bad about him. He's well regarded by all men. Everybody, not only do they like him, it's not just that Demetrius is a nice guy. It's that Demetrius is walking in the truth. And Demetrius is a godly man. Demetrius is a good person, not in and of himself, but through the righteousness that is in Jesus Christ. He says, Demetrius is a good report of all men. And not only that, Demetrius, not only does he have a good report of all men, but of the truth also. And of the truth also. Not only does he have a good report of all men, but Demetrius has a good report of the truth. Now, what does that mean? The truth doesn't say, "Demetrius is a good man." No. The Bible, if we open the Bible doesn't speak and say, "Irfan is a good man," or "Pastor Ryan is a good man. I give a good report of him." No. But whenever you take the truth of God's word and you line up the truth of God's word and you compare Brother Irfan and say, "Yeah, Brother Irfan is fulfilling those things of the truth of God's word. Brother Irfan is walking in the truth. Brother Irfan is behaving as he should." That's when the truth gives a good report. So you don't open the Bible and the Bible speak and say, "Yes, Pastor Ryan, I give him a good report." No. But when you compare a person's life to the truth, and are they walking in the truth, and are they obeying the truth, then the truth gives a report. And so John says, this man Demetrius, he says, he has a good report of all men. Everybody reports that Demetrius is not only a nice guy, but Demetrius is walking in the truth and obeying the Lord. The truth itself gives a good report of Demetrius. And then he says this, "And we also bear record." Me, the Apostle John, and then the other people that minister with me, we bear record that Demetrius is a good man, that Demetrius is walking according to God's word. And so he says, look, Gaius, don't follow Diotrephes. He's evil, and he doesn't even know God. He's in a position of authority that he does not have the authority to have. He should not have. He does not belong there. Don't follow him. Gaius, follow Demetrius. Demetrius is a role model that you can follow. And so we see these two men. We see the negative and we see the positive. It's just like when you would hold up that piece of film after you've taken the picture. And the negative is exactly the opposite of what you think it should look like. And that is Diotrephes. He is the opposite of what a pastor should be. And then you've got Demetrius. Demetrius is walking in the truth, and he is an example of everything that a pastor should be. And John says this, I had many things to write unto you, but I will not with ink and pen write them unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee. He says, I have a lot of things to say to you. He said, but I'm not going to write them all down because I'm planning to come there. And I'm planning to sort the situation out. We shall speak face to face, he says in verse 14. And then he says, the friends salute thee. They send the greetings to thee. And then he tells Gaius, you greet the friends by name. You tell the friends, John said hello. John gives you his love. You greet them by name. As Christians, we should always follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But on a worldly level, we often have a human role model, which we look up to. In this passage, in this text that we just looked at, John makes it clear the importance of choosing the correct role model. He says, follow not that which is evil, follow that which is good. Despite having a bad attitude and poor character, and not even being saved, Demetrius somehow found his way into a position of authority. Diotrephes' greatest joy was to have people look up to him and to exercise authority over him. That's what it means that he loved to have the preeminence. He loved to be in charge. He loved being in charge. And because of this attitude and his resulting behavior, Diotrephes was completely unfit to be a role model, much less a pastor. He was completely unfit. Now, here's the sad truth. Are you ready? There are many people in this world today who are Diotrephes. Diotrephes still exists today. There are pastors today who still abuse their power. And there are pastors today who abuse God's people. Diotrephes still exist. They are still in existence today. John's advice for Gaius was this, be careful who you follow. Follow someone walking in the truth. Do not follow evil. And you know what? The same advice still applies today. Just as if John had to rewrite this letter, and instead of writing it to Gaius, he wrote it to Sam, he would say the same thing. Don't follow that which is evil, follow that which is good. The same advice still applies today. So here's the question. Who is your role model? Who is your role model? Who are you looking up to follow? Do you follow people who walk in the truth? Or do you follow people who are rough and abusive? Who do you follow? Every Sunday morning we come here and we open the Bible, and either I preach, Brother Fon preaches, one of the other men preaches. But we preach here. You can go home and you can get on the internet and you can turn on the internet and you can find a lot of people preaching on the internet. And you know what? There's some very popular people out there on the internet who are very rough and very abusive. The question is this, who are you following? Are you following people who are rough and abusive? Or are you following people who walk in the truth? Are you following someone like Demetrius? Are you following someone like Diotrephes? You have to be discerning and sort this out for yourself. People who are poor leaders do not wear a sign around their neck that says, follow me, I'm abusive. No. You have to be discerning. You have to watch the things they do. You have to listen to the things they say. And you have to discern this for yourself, because no one's going to wear a sign and say, I'm a bad leader, I'm abusive and unkind. No, you have to think for yourself when you decide who you're going to follow as a role model. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter gives some instructions to pastors. He says, the elders which are among you, in 1 Peter 5, the elders which are among you, in verse 1, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He says this, first of all, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. So you're supposed to feed the flock, you're supposed to watch over them, not by constraint, but willingly. Okay, you should do it out of your own goodwill, not because you have to do it. Not for filthy lucre, not because you want to get rich off the flock. That's not why you should pastor a church, he says. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And then he says this, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. As a pastor, we're not to be lords over the church. Meaning this, we're not to be rulers. We're not to be demanding and abusive of the flock. And that's exactly what Diotrephes was doing. He was lording over the church, not pastoring the church, but lording over the church. And my point to you today is this. When you're deciding who to follow, don't follow someone who's doing what Peter says here and lording over the church. The church is not your personal kingdom to do whatever you want to do. Not lord it over the church, is what Peter says. And so you have to be discerning. When you're listening to some preacher on the TV or the radio or the internet, you have to be discerning. Is he lording it over people? Is he being a good pastor or a bad pastor? Jesus put it this way in Matthew 20, verses 26 and 27. He said this, "But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." Jesus said this, being great is not about telling other people what to do. It's not about being the boss. It's not about having the preeminence. It's not about abusing your authority. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. The word minister simply means servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Jesus calls us as Christians to servant leadership, to lead by serving other people. All that to say, be careful who you look to as a role model. As John recommended, we should always follow people like Demetrius, someone who walks and lives in the truth. But this is the important part. This is the important part. As good as it is to follow someone who walks in the truth and who lives in the truth, it's even better to walk in the truth and live in the truth yourself. As good as it is for Gaius to follow Demetrius, as good as it is to follow someone who walks in the truth, it's even better for you to walk in the truth. It's even better for me to walk in the truth and live in the truth. But the Bible says this, there's only one way to walk in the truth. There's only one way to live in the truth. And that is this, to walk and live in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. I could follow Brother Bernard. I could follow Brother Bernard as he walks and lives in the truth. I could follow him. But I could still not be living in the truth myself. I could try to mimic him as he walks and do what he does and still not be living in the truth myself. It's good to follow someone who's living in the truth, but it's better to live in the truth yourself. And the only way to do that is to live in Jesus Christ. That is the only way to do it. According to John 14:6, Jesus says this, I am the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. There is no other way for us to be in the truth than for us to be part of Christ. And to be part of Christ, this is what it takes. In order to be part of Christ, you must realize that your sin separates you from a holy and righteous God. That's the first step of being part of Christ. Understanding that my sin and my life, I may think I'm a pretty good person, but I still have a few sinful things in my life, then my sin separates me from God. And in God's eyes, guess what? I'm not that great after all. I'm really not that good. In God's eyes, I'm what the Bible says, I'm a sinner. I do wrong. That's the first step to walking in Christ. The second step is this, understanding that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus said, it's not many roads, it's one road. It's not many ways to heaven, it's one way to heaven, Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. It's not what Pastor Ryan says. Look it up in the Bible. It's in the Bible. John 14:6. It's what Jesus says. Jesus says, no one cometh to the Father but by me. So first we have to understand, in God's eyes, I'm a sinner. Secondly, I have to understand that Jesus is the only way of salvation. Thirdly, I have to realize that when Jesus went to the cross and hung upon that cross and shed his blood, that he died for the sins of the whole world, but he also died for my sin. He died for my sin. He died for me. He died for my lying tongue. He died for my gossiping tongue. He died for my wicked thought life. He died for my greed and my covetousness. He died for me. And lastly, we have to accept what he did for us. We have to accept. It's not enough that he died for us, because he did die for us. But if he died for you and you never put your trust in him, it does you no good. I often use this example. If I brought this beautiful, beautifully wrapped birthday present, and I took it and I set it on this chair right here, and I said, Nina, I wanted to give this to you for your birthday. And I left it here, and we sat here, we had a cup of tea, and we chatted, and I got up and walked away, and then Nina got up and walked away and left the gift sitting here, it does Nina no good. Nina's got to take the gift and make it her own and unwrap it and keep it for herself. That is salvation. Yes, Jesus died for you, but if you never accept him as your Savior, it does you no good. He died for the sins of all mankind. But if you never put your faith and trust in him, it does you no good. But when you put your faith and trust in him, guess what? Then you can walk in the truth. Then you can live in the truth. Then you can walk in Jesus Christ. Before that, you can pretend to follow somebody. You can pretend to walk like somebody else. But you're not truly walking in the truth yourself. Until you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Until you receive him as your Savior. As good as it is, John says, look, Gaius, don't follow evil, follow good. But as good as it is to follow someone, it's even better to walk in the truth yourself. Unless you become a child of God through Jesus Christ, you can follow someone who walks in truth, but you can never walk in the truth yourself. My heart's desire for you, my heart's desire for myself, is that I would walk in the truth. Look, I don't want to be a Diotrephes. I don't want to be bossing everybody around and kicking people out of the church. If it ever comes down to that, you should kick me out of the church. Okay? That's not how it should be. I don't want to be a Diotrephes. I want to be a Demetrius. And I want you to be a Demetrius as well. I want you to walk in the truth. But first, you must walk in Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless the service today. Dear Father in heaven, Lord. Father, we thank you for the truth that we find here in the Word of God. We thank you that not only are there bad examples of leadership, Lord, but there are good examples of leadership. And this man, Demetrius, was a good example.